Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is BJ Shea, the show's namesake, because Vicky's on vacation.
That's right, so it's going to still be a party.
My whole intro spiel is just all screwed up. Hey, Joe, you're also on the board.
Hey, I'm here.
This is smooth like butter.
Right?
Butter.
On today's show, we'll get a board game roundup from BJ Shea.
Yeah, you will.
We will also talk more San Diego Comic-Con news, trying to get all the information that Marvel put out there. Spoiler alert, we're not going to get to all of it.
Are you really going to try to climb that mountain?
We'll try. We'll see what happens. And, of course, if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can do so. Send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. You can find us on bjgeeknation.com. Find us on all the social media just by searching for BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Or hit us up on radio.com, put a favorite on that podcast, and then listen to all of our episodes.
And hear more!
More!
Oh, thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
So, BJ.
Yes, sir.
You not only play board games, I think, all of the time.
I might be playing after this very podcast.
You also kickstart a ton of games.
Did you know we had 5 days in a row last week of board games, all five?
I was like, we had 5 days in a row. Yes, we had five.
Yeah.
Five different days full of board
Wednesday,
games?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Did you play a different board game?
Oh, no, Monday. I did 6 days. I forgot about Monday.
Did you play a different board game every time, or was it
the
same one?
Different ones every time. Yeah.
Quote unquote, show prep.
Finally got to get Empires of the Void 2 in from Ryan Lockett, the guy that did Above and Below, Near and Far, and Ancients of the World, which is, by the way, I got it. That was another one I did. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, because you're talking Kickstarter, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on in Kickstarter, and want to let you know about some of the great games. I'm very happy because there's a gentleman from the great land of India that contacted me. His name is Zane Mimon, and Zane, he basically just said, hey, love your podcast, would be honored if you talk about my new board game. I think it's something you'd like. And I'm like, you know, he's in Mumbai. I'm like, really? He listens to the podcast, and he really does? And then all of a sudden, I looked at his board game, and it's total social deduction kind of area control. It's like, he does know me, and he does listen to this podcast. This is a beautiful game, and just so well done. It's called Shasan, and you might go, what the hell is Shasan? It's actually Sanskrit for the word governance.
Oh, wow.
So this is a political, basically what you're trying to do is you are trying to basically be the president, the king, the whatever. Mm-hmm. It is a political campaign, and you take the role of a politician, and it is a multiplayer strategy board game where you are doing this, trying to basically be the new leader by winning elections in all these different districts, and it's basically area control, and there's different kinds of resources you can get, and it's a really cleverly done game how you get these resources, whether you're going to be more capitalistic, whether you're going to be more ideological, and if you're more capitalist, you will unlock asymmetrical capitalist powers, asymmetrical ideological powers, and then other different two other powers. It's really done. You can gerrymander your area, so you take control of one area, but then you can gerrymander it and even increase the area, giving you more control. But you can also make deals with the other politicians and decide, you know what, we'll be co-in charge of this particular area.
And the art on this is fantastic. Like if you just go on Kickstarter and look up Shasan, wow. Like, this is beautiful.
It is for 3 to 5 players. You can betray. If you do the expansions like I did, you can play as the United States. You can play as India. There's also like a time in Rome during the Julius Caesar time, I believe. So there's different types of scenarios that you can have. This looks like a fun game for people that do like to kibitz back and forth.
That's you, buddy.
Yeah. I love the agenda phase in Twilight Imperium, and people that like like the game Diplomacy. This plays a lot quicker than that, a ton lot quicker. But boy, it's really, really good. And like you said, the art is good. It's very, very clever. And by the way, Zane is going to be at Gen Con. So if you're hearing this now,
yeah,
and you're at Gen Con, go visit his booth, Zane Mimon. He might be in, I would imagine, since this looks like one of his first things that he's done, from Mimesis Culture Lab is the publisher. He might be in that the alley, I forget what they call it, where it's like the new people you don't know about.
Oh, okay, okay. Up-and-coming sort of thing.
The up-and-coming areas,
I'm not sure what it's called either.
I know, I'm an idiot, I remember. All I can think of is Einstein Alley, but that's, I think that's CES.
Oh.
But yeah, go check out the new board game designer area, and you might find Zane there, but and this game is really, really cool.
It's already almost $70,000 of this recording backed, so they've hit a ton of stretch goals. I don't know if they've hit every single stretch goal that they want to do. There's still a bunch of days to go. Like you said, the end of August is when it's finishing up.
I'm seeing a bunch of the starters, and the Kickstarter one that you get for $59, base pledge, looks great. But if you want to go full $1,000.
Oh, damn, $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
You get the limited wooden edition with metal components, and it looks awesome.
That is
nuts. It's a little rich for my blood.
Oops, nope. I was trying to click, get more information. No, I don't need to back it. I don't need to back $1,000 one.
It's gone.
Time to close that website. All right, cool. So, yeah.
Shasin. Shasin, S-H-A-S-N. You can search for it on Kickstarter. And again, if you're at Gen Con, go check out Zane and the good folks at Mimesis Culture Lab. It looks good, and it's so awesome to help out a BJ Shea Geek National all the way over to the other side of the world.
Yeah, we're international, guys.
Yeah, Zane, thank you so much for listening, man. And good job. Lots of love to your brother. What a great game.
Absolutely. You got any other board games you've been playing?
Well, of course, we're going to go home. We're going to go a little closer to home to another Kickstarter known as the Margrave of Valeria. And you know what, let me see if I can quickly check my tell you exactly when it's going to be done, but it's getting close to being wrapped up. If you know the world of Valeria, you know the idea is that the good folks at Daily Magic Games and the designer Isaias Vallejo, Isaias, man, has had so many great Valeria games. This one is a bigger box version in the Valeria universe.
Really?
And so you're going to have a nice game board, and of course if you love the art of the Miko, well yeah, you're going to get a ton more of that. And you're going to see some very familiar icons and iconography and characters that you know from the Valeria universe. But this really, really expands it out. And they've had some good storylines in the Kickstarter updates about all the different characters and cultures. And Margrave is another word for basically leader, controller. And so we've got the leaders of Valeria as they are doing what they're doing. And you are using a lot of worker placement things. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have some deck and pool building going on in this game, area movement. And you are a military commander, and you've got to defend the land of Valeria as you build these magical ward towers in your cities.
And you have been a proponent or a cheerleader for Valeria the whole time with Daily Magic and what they've been doing. And these are, like you said, the art is fantastic. One of the things I love about this, we're just mentioning international for maybe listeners that are outside of the U.S., they've actually put on the little sticker on the front. It's EU-friendly shipping, Australia-friendly shipping, Canada-friendly shipping, and of course good for the U.S. So I mean, that's a real good thing to have, because when somebody's shipping out across the world, you don't know, like if you're in Australia, like the shipping costs and the taxes and all that stuff, it's hard to get some of those things, just even like video games for people. So it's cool to actually know that if you're outside of the United States, it's not going to be that hard for you to get, and you can back this without any worry.
And the Valeria universe is a great universe. I love I mean, Valeria Card Kingdom is fantastic, and they've got, you know, they've got a whole other, I mean, they had a Flames and Frost expansion that was great. They got another one coming very, very soon. And this one here is just, it's the universe you love, but a completely different way to play the game. And it looks good. I'm very stoked to get this. This, of course, is Monday, July 29th. As of this broadcast, about a little over a week left.
A little bit left.
It's already funded, so the game's happening. And, you know what, man? Those guys at Daily Magic, they know what they're doing from Seattle. So
those meeples are so cute.
Yeah, these guys, you know, I'm very stoked, because I remember the first game, which, you know, the first Valeria, and remember meeting these guys, and they are such a great, there's just such a great company and great ambassador for local designers. They do a lot of cool stuff in the area. And so check them out, Margraves of Valeria.
Are there any other board games you want to talk about?
Oh, wow. Well, as you know, I do love my Social Deduction Hidden Identity. identity games.
My goodness, you do.
And I like them when they're turned on their ear. Now, I can't get you to play these, Rev, every time
nope.
I want to. And I tried it when we were over at Vicky's new house. I tried to get you to play this game.
I was like, it looks really interesting. I love the art. I got to go. I'm out.
Yeah, it's funny. This is a game called Growl. And the guy that brought you Chaosmos, which is a cool space game.
That's
that
a cool name.
Yeah, it really was. It's a cool space game where you're really hunting for something. And you've got all these planets and you got these deck boxes that represent the planets. And, you know, Joey and, man, you know, the dude loves games. And so this is his social deduction game, sort of his sort of take on Werewolf, but in such a cool way. And it's called Growl. What I love about this game is, yes, you have a hidden identity. Either A, you're a werewolf, or B, you are a human. There are more humans than werewolves when you play this game, and you can play it anywhere from, I think, 4 to 5 players all the way up to 10. And if you buy a couple more expansion packs, you can even play it up to 15 if you want.
Wow.
And it's a real simple game to play. What I love about this is that, first off, you may not always be a human, and you may actually want to be a werewolf, and there's a mechanic where you're trying to get the most gold. So you play 3 rounds, the rounds are quick, and when you're at the end of 3 rounds, whoever has the most gold wins the game. So even though you're sort of cooperating, wanting your team to win, you also really want to be the person with the most gold.
All right, yeah.
And what happens is if you got a handful of gold, and you realize that the two people to your left are werewolves, and there's night phases where werewolves are allowed to bite other humans, and if you get a certain amount of bites, you will in fact turn into a werewolf. The great thing about this game is you can lie and cheat and whatever and deceive, but you may realize, you know what, there's no way I'm not going to be a werewolf, so I'm just going to let them bite me, and I have no problem with it, and you'll start giving some cards away that will make it easier for you to become a werewolf, because you go, I got all this money, I want the werewolf team to win, because I don't want to be on the losing team, but you'll still purport yourself as a human, or, you know, you may be more overt about being a werewolf. This isn't one of those games where you go, I'm really a bad liar, and if they find out what I am, this is a game.
That's why I never talk during any of those. Like, yeah. When we're playing, it's like, oh, like, if I try to say something, my poker face goes away, and I'm like, no, I'm bad at this.
So, and it's very quick, and the way the game goes is that you don't really have to, you know, like the resistance, it's all about the arguing before you pick teams. This game, you have a deck of cards, and you just pass the deck on each turn. You just look at the top card, and you say, okay, who wants this card, whatever it might be, and it will affect the game, whether it's a bite, or if it's a wound, which could kill you, or if it's a charm that could actually save you from a werewolf bite, or a salve that could save you from a wound. Those are the things you pass around, and people go back and forth jockeying, like, oh, you know what, I could take another bite, or I can use a charm. Thing is, if you're a werewolf, you want to get those charms out of the human's hands.
Because you want to turn them into werewolves.
Yeah, but everybody wants a charm for the same reason they go, I need a charm, because I could get bit by a werewolf. So it's easy for you to say whatever you want, because you could look like a werewolf or look like a human wanting the same cards. You could go, look, I can take a bite. And if you're a werewolf, you want to get a lot of bites so you can pass them along to the other people and bite them at night.
Funny.
Because humans can't bite other people. So if a human's got bite cards in their hand, they can't get rid of them.
They don't know me.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I know plenty of humans that can bite.
So this game has got a lot of good strategy to it, because, again, if you play the 3 rounds, which are quick, you want the most gold, and everybody gets 1 gold piece if they're on the winning team, plus all the gold cards you've accumulated in the game. And sometimes people have to pass you gold because they don't want to hurt you if they think you're on the same team. So they go, all right, here's a gold piece. And you're like, thanks for the gold piece, buddy, because I want them all. And by the way, I'm not on your team, but you don't know that.
This is the perfect game for you, dude.
It really is. And I think it's a good game for people that think the Resistance or Secret Hitler is a little too intense.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot more light. The artwork is surely fun and light, like almost kid-like. And so it's from Vigor Games. I don't know if you can get it or not. You can probably go to vigorgames.com or do a search. I played it at Zulu's Board Game Cafe, one of our favorite places to play.
Oh, yeah, here in Bothell, Washington.
Yeah, and Ethan was just like, dude, I didn't realize this was as fun of a game as it was. And so they're like, we got to get some of this and sell it. So check it out, and maybe your FLGS has it. Like, may I know Zulu's is trying to get it. So there you go, man. Growl by Joey Vigor.
Nice. Now we need to talk about more San Diego Comic-Con news, and this time it's the Marvel Roundup. Marvel's
their news? Did they have news about Marvel?
Oh, there's a little bit of news here.
Wow, I don't know.
People were expecting maybe that they weren't going to show up, and they had even said themselves, oh, we're not going to have a large presence.
Yeah.
We might not even do a panel at Hall H this year, which is the biggest hall for San Diego Comic-Con. Lo and behold, they have an hour and a half panel where they literally show off Phase 4 and beyond.
And beyond.
This has gotten me very, very excited. I thought I was done with the Infinity Saga. I got the Infinity War. I got the Endgame. I got everything that I wanted. I got Thanos. Got that Infinity Gauntlet. Got everything. And now, after Far From Home, which basically for me kind of led me to believe that they're going to be going in for Spider-Man, the Sinister Six.
Okay.
Because it makes sense. They're building that sort of thing as they're going along. And then the overarching story would be possibly Secret Wars.
Oh!
Which stands to reason that's still going to be what they're doing, because we've got the Kree, we got the Skrulls, we've got Nick Fury in space with S.W.O.R.D.
And Space Fury.
Yeah, right? So this really kind of made sense in a lot of these terms, because they dropped the next stage of Phase 4. Starting in May of 2020 is Black Widow.
Okay.
November 5th of this of 2020 is The Eternals. February 12th of 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
What? Which I don't know. I didn't read any of that, but I forgot all about him being a Marvel property.
We'll get some info. Well, yeah, I got some more information on all these, too. So May 7th of 2021, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, here we go. 616 and all the other Marvel universes.
And then finally, November 5th of 2021, Thor, Love and Thunder.
This has been getting a lot of talk.
Yeah. Yeah, angry dudes getting angry, kind of cracking me up.
Here's the problem. I don't, you know, look, if you've followed the comic book, you know that, hey, guess what? Thor all of a sudden was a woman for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's the hate because, hey, Thor is not a woman. I don't know if it's so much that or if it's Natalie Portman who, you know, look, in defense of everybody else, I think that Natalie Portman is a great actor. I loved her in V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
She was okay in Star Wars. I don't blame her. I blame Lucas.
Yeah.
So, and she was also okay in Thor.
Yeah, and I just think because the problem with her character was she was just there.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't do much.
She got
in Thor the Dark World.
So,
she was screwed by just getting the reality gem Aether.
Yeah.
And that was, she was just a plot point.
Yeah.
And then in the third one, she was non-existent. So I haven't had a chance to see what she's going to be doing, but
yeah, she's coming back.
Yeah, and I mean, and look, she's a great actor, and if it's a good script, that's my only my only complaint is I hope that Natalie, you know, actually gets to really exercise her acting chops and make a great movie, because she just hasn't looked good in a couple of movies. And again, I don't think it's her. I just thought it was always the writing. So I think that's what I hope that's what people are upset with, as opposed to, oh, it's a woman playing Thor. It's like,
I think, get over it, please.
That's
kind of where people are.
They got to get over this. Mm-hmm. It's like, first of all, it's been in the comic book, so it's not like, you know, I mean, this is, it's part of Marvel canon.
Jane has been Thor.
Yeah.
And it was even people, I think Taika Waititi was, because he's directing it again, he's coming back from Thor Ragnarok, which is very exciting. And he was just like, this isn't female Thor. She's the mighty Thor.
Yeah.
And so just don't worry about that. You first off, just wait and see the damn movie.
You know, the other the other problem is that people don't know that Don Blake, I think that was his name, was the human that was imbued with the power of Thor. See, we met Thor just as Thor.
Yeah.
But in the comic books, it actually was a human dude that somehow...
It was more along the lines of like a Shazam sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why this is also a thing that can happen, where Natalie Portman's character could actually become Thor.
And we'll have to see how that takes that and where it goes with that. Because, maybe they're going to be incorporating that sort of thing in with it. But,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, another thing people probably, hopefully, will, you know, if you know anything about Marvel canon, that's actually, they just never covered it in the Thor movies.
She's going to be a very tiny Thor.
Tiny. Unless she goes and she basically Sarah Connors it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no reason why she couldn't.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, like, Chris Pratt was a fatty when it came out before Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, it's the Hollywood machine. They'll get him the trainers. They'll get him all the stuff to do all that stuff.
Take a look at Hugh Jackman in the first X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah, right?
And he was Hugh, not Jackman. I mean, compared
Dad bod Wolverine, and then just the ripped
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now, yeah. So, I mean, there's no reason why if Natalie wanted to, she could just, you know, bulk up like a mo or just do CGI.
Black Widow, I'm going to have to imagine that's going to be a prequel since she died in Endgame. So, I mean...
I think I heard it's right before Infinity Wars.
Okay, which would make sense.
Yeah.
So, other people that are in that are Rachel Weisz, and also David Harbour is in it as well.
Oh, Hopper!
Yeah!
That's where he went.
Well, I don't think so. But probably not Hopper.
Oh, I always see Stranger Things.
Or probably not Hellboy. But who knows?
Yeah.
The big one here, one of the big ones, The Eternals. I don't really know much about The Eternals, but it was created by Jack Kirby at Marvel after he left the New Gods behind at DC.
Yeah.
And they're kind of along those same things. So I'm interested in seeing this, man. There's some really big people in this. Angelina Jolie is going to be in it as well.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know exactly where they're going to be going with this, but Angelina Jolie will be playing Athena, based on the Greek goddess Athena. So this is going to be like the new pantheon of gods, which again leads to the galactic versions of like the big space stuff, the universal thing that we've seen with like how the Thanos War got into it with Guardians of the Galaxy and those sort of things as well.
And I wonder, you know, I don't know, and if anybody who's a Marvelite knows, I can't, because I didn't really follow the Eternals, but is there a connection between the Eternals and Galactus? I don't know if he's like a son of the Eternals.
Wasn't he like a part of the Celestials, though?
Maybe that's
what it is. Which are those other things?
The Celestials. Yeah. Maybe that's it. You're right. The Celestials.
there's so many cosmic entities out there.
I was so hoping for, you know, a Fantastic Four sort of appearance in the Eternals, but I think you're right. I think it is the Celestials. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of those things too. This could be one of those, like with the Avengers, where you see the last screenshot was, you know, Thanos.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I'm in. Oh, I'm so in. She's actually, Angelina Jolie is joined by Selma Hayek, who is going to be playing Ajax, the leader of the Eternals. Richard Madden as Icarus. Kumail Nanjiani is going to be in this as well. Kingo Sunan, and a whole bunch of other people as well. And really, they're based off of pantheon gods. So he's like Icarus. It's spelled differently, but it's like Icarus.
I don't know then if this has had any actually interaction at all with the other Marvel characters in the universe. Maybe not. Maybe this is just its own separate standalone.
I think it's going to be setting the stage for more cosmic stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the Eternals, but if they're doing a movie, I'll watch it.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is very interesting because Shang-Chi is dubbed as the Master of Kung Fu, and it looks like this will be the first Asian-led film from Marvel. Another thing with this that is kind of interesting is that Shang-Chi will possibly be, it's going to follow the story of his battle with the Mandarin, not Ben Kingsley's Mandarin.
Oh, a real Mandarin.
The actual Mandarin. So it looks like Awkwafina, which you might know from Crazy Rich Asians and some other things as well.
Oh.
She has been announced in a yet announced role.
Aquafina's
so we don't know
terrific.
Who she's going to be in it. We know she's going to be in it, but not what.
I believe she was also in one of the last episodes of Twilight Zone this year where her and, oh my gosh, I can't think of the woman's name. She was on Community and she always subs for, she loves The Walking Dead with
Allison
Chris
Marie?
Harbert. No.
That's the only one I know.
I'm so.
Yvette Nicole Brown.
Thank you.
YNB.
So YNB and I think Awkwafina were in an episode of the Twilight Zone this year, and Awkwafina, of course, was fantastic in Crazy Rich Asians. So yeah, I think that
I'm excited for this
one.
Yeah. It'll be cool to see them do, try to see what they're going to do with like the Ten Rings. Cause I mean, it's all like the Ten Rings is in the damn title. So like they're going to have to deal with Mandarin's Ten Rings, which are a big, big plot point. So I'm glad they're going to be taking this with some seriousness.
I'm excited because I mean, if there's any sort of supernatural at all to this and with the Ten Rings, I mean, you know, Kung Fu Hustle, remember those movies where
they're I love Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah. To bring back that kind of coolness. You know? I mean, and also, I mean, after Into the Badlands, which had some great choreography, I mean, this will be so much fun to see what they can do with Shang-Chi.
Yes. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Tripping.
This is going to be, according to director Scott Derrickson, the first scary MCU film.
Oh, so like a horror film.
Yes.
Ooh.
And the events of the TV show WandaVision will tie directly into this film, and Elizabeth Olsen will appear as Scarlet Witch. Switch when this comes out in May 7th of 2021.
Okay, I got to get the Disney app is what they're saying.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
And we'll get into the shows, too, in a second. But, yeah, this is...
So Doctor Strange is going to be in a horror film.
Yes.
Weird. Okay.
Makes sense when you... because that door... I mean, those creatures in the nightmare realm like Dormammu and all that, yeah. I mean, they really are quite frightening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in that whole world.
And it's those cosmic creations. It's like, if you think about, like, the Cthulhu mythos and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
these are creatures
ones.
Beyond the comprehension of humans. Mm. But, of course, a Sorcerer Supreme would know how to deal with them. Or does he?
Well, I hope so. I mean, you heard what the Ancient One said. I mean, she's like, he was supposed to be the best of the best of the best of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Thanks, Will Smith.
Yeah. And she's like, or was I mistaken? Sorry, Hulky.
Thor, Love, and Thunder, like we talked about. Taika Waititi's coming back with it. And this will be really fun to kind of see what's going on with this as well, because Tessa Thompson is returning as Valkyrie, who is the new leader of the
Asgardian.
Earth Asgard.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And, it looks like Thompson quipped at the San Diego Comic-Con that now she's king. She's going to be looking for her queen. So it's going to be fun to have that representation in that as well.
Nice!
In addition to the films through 2020, Kevin Feige also reminded the crowd that Black Panther 2 is coming.
Oh,
Guardians
yeah.
3 is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Marvel 2 is coming. And... The Fantastic Four is coming.
No, I'm very excited. They can't make it worse than they have. They really can't. They can. And I didn't mind Fantastic Four 1 and 2. Well, I should say 2 and 3. with Jessica Alba and Chris Evans. I mean, they were entertaining to me.
And there you go. Yeah.
They were entertaining to me. I get that they weren't that great. But
Galactus was a space fart, which was stupid.
That bummed me out.
Yeah.
I think we're ready for the real deal now.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're ready for the
real deal. I think fans are ready. For all of that, after we just had the gigantic intergalactic war that was the Infinity War, I think people are okay with that sort of thing.
There's going to have to be a rewrite, no doubt about it. They have to be updated, and how are you going to present them? This is important. Just like with Mysterio in Far From Home.
Which is great.
When I heard he was going to be a character, I thought, how are they going to do this? Because he's kind of a goofy character. I mean,
yeah.
He's
still a goofy character, though.
But they did a really good job with
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
They updated him very nicely.
And the same thing with like Killmonger or a lot of the recent villains.
Yes.
They gave them down home reasons as to why they're doing it. Vulture with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Like they're able to say, hey, we've been affected and it's the sins of the father, Tony Stark.
Yep.
And now, unfortunately, you know, Tom Holland's Peter Parker has to deal with all of this.
And Jake Gyllenhaal is a creepy bad guy. It's just perfect.
Right?
I've seen him in Nightcrawler, that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, when I saw him, I was like, yes, he's finally going evil again.
Yeah. He did a good job with that.
So it'll be interesting to see where they're going with all that.
It is funny that Tony Stark's getting blamed for pretty much like making all these villains. Have you seen that meme where it's that dude that he called out for playing Galaga and he's going to be the next villain in the next movie?
for
Galaga. He's like, he called me out for playing Galaga. So you know what I did?
I'll have to become the game master.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously the Mysterio's one. Yeah, I made a really good tech and he said I'm a loser and fired me.
He
so I'm going to take over the world.
He called it Barf.
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
Yeah.
Also, Blade is coming back, but not Wesley Snipes.
No! Which, of course, it shouldn't be Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, right. Mahershala Ali is going to be doing it. But this is weird because he was already a villain, and this kind of confirms the thing because he was a villain in Luke Cage.
Yes, he was.
The Netflix version. Essentially, like, the Netflix shows are kind of their own multiverse. Like,
well, the Human Torch was, he's Captain America. I mean,
in a different multiverse.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, the Fantastic Four and Captain America exist in the same universe. I imagine they were in the same 6-1, whatever the heck it's called. But
well, there, and that's the problem too, because it's fan theories, and that's all we're really kind of talking about in this. But I mean,
it's an actor who can play both roles.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
So he's coming back, and Wesley Snipes actually had a message for everyone who was freaking out about this, saying we need Wesley Snipes for this. He was like,
no, we don't.
He said, chillax. So,
okay.
Chillax, guys. He says, although this news comes as a surprise, it's all good. So he didn't even know about it. But he does say congratulations to Mahershala Ali, a beautiful and talented artist whose expressions I look forward to experiencing for many years to come.
Good for him.
So don't worry. Don't fret. Welcome to the Daywalker clique.
Are they not going to have him play a role in the movie at all?
I hope so.
I hope so as well.
Because I don't mind him not being the main character. I mean, no offense to the guy, but he's old now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we need a new kick-ass vampire slayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he should at least be something, like a mentor. Maybe he dies or something.
Well, isn't
a cool
there,
way to bridge the series.
What was it? Chris Christopherson, was he in the Blade movies as a mentor?
Yes.
So why couldn't he be that character?
Why not?
Yeah, I think that Wesley could be that guy. I agree with you. It'd be great to see Wesley in there in some way, shape, or form. You always see that. They always pay homage or homage, whatever you want to say,
to
the old guys.
Good.
Yeah, and Mahershala is just an amazing actor.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unless they write this to be a pile of crap, he will make it great.
I don't think they can write it that bad.
And don't get me wrong, I love the original Blade series and stuff, but if you go back and watch those movies, man, that storyline is just
Blade 1 was great.
Yeah.
Blade 2.
Whoops.
I only got mad when a vampire slammed Blade into a giant pillar and he didn't lose his sunglasses. Then I was like, all right, I hate this. And it's that dumb, nerdy nitpicker. And then the third movie was an iPod commercial, so I don't care about it.
Yep.
Well, Blade 2 had the greatest ending, where it's just one of the vampires that got away at the beginning. He's in, like, a little studio, and he's about to watch a movie. And then Blade comes in and he goes, did you think I forgot about you?
That's pretty cool.
Finally, wrapping all of this up, Disney or Marvel did continue to tease shows on the Disney Plus app, like BJ was talking about. You're going to have to buy it, buddy.
Yeah.
They got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, so they're going to have to be dealing with that. And Baron Zemo's coming back with the purple mask.
Ooh.
Yep, he showed it up at San Diego Comic-Con. WandaVision, like we talked about, Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany will be back on to talk about that. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Vision since he got his Mind Stone ripped out.
Is he alive?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to be dealing with this.
Yeah, I mean, he was actually on the wall as being dead, right? Like, once we lost. I thought he was part of the, like, we lost Vision and he's still not back, so
it's
I don't know.
It's intended to explore the Scarlet Witch's headspace after losing her boyfriend and, you know, being dusted for 5 years, so we don't know how that's going to really interact, but Paul Bettany is going to be a part of it, I guess.
He's a synthetic being, so I imagine if there's anybody that can bring him back, it would be her.
Maybe. Loki's getting his own show. We knew about that.
But he did, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was that one Loki that poofed out into nothing when he stole the Tesseract.
Oh, that's right.
So maybe. What If is coming back? So it's going to be animated.
Coming back. Has it ever been?
Well, I mean, the comics. So no, but it'll be a show now.
So What If is animated?
It'll be an animated show narrated by Jeffrey Wright, which you may know from Westworld.
Oh, Westworld, Jeffrey Wright's awesome.
Yeah, and so it's going to just be like one of those things where they'll get, Jeffrey Wright's actually going to be playing the role as the Watcher.
Oh, he's got a great voice for the Watcher.
Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things on this, too, is it could also lead into, you know, the multiverse sort of thing.
Because
this could be just another different multiverse.
It's a TV series?
Yes, on Disney Plus. Hawkeye is coming back. Jeremy Renner is going to be doing, they showed off an animated teaser for it, which will show him focusing on training another hero with no powers, Kate Bishop. And that's just them being mean about the no power sort of thing. Hawkeye is very good with his pew-pew.
Poor Hawkeye.
Pew-pew. So all of these will be coming out in 2020 and 2021.
That's all the Disney stuff, TV stuff.
Yeah. So Disney Plus, they're going to be going along with all of those things. So,
Arrow's been successful for the CW. I'm not surprised that, hey, let's do our Hawkeye.
Yeah, exactly. And they need a new line on that with Kate Bishop, and so it's a good way to bring that all around.
Yeah, people love Jeremy Renner.
Yeah,
He's not doing a TV series, apparently.
Yeah.
No, I mean, maybe he'll be there for a couple episodes.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe the training sort of thing, or if it's like, they showed an animated teaser, so maybe if it's animated, he just has to do the voice work and he's happy to do that.
Okay, that works.
So we'll have to see where it comes. I mean, that one's not coming out till 2020, 2021. Some of the other ones are coming out in 2020, so you'll be able to catch up on all those. Until next time, guys, stay nerdy!
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.